So, I think the format of this show is I record a bunch of podcasts and live streams and content, and then I completely take off for a couple weeks, maybe. Welcome to the Gabriel Mayers podcast. I am Gabriel Mayers. It is what date is it? It is Monday, February 25th, 2019. It's about 4:38 p.m. I'm drinking coffee. I just got back from therapy, and great news for everyone who's had to interact with me and will have to interact with me. I'm on antidepressants. Just one, though, for now. This one's called Lexapro. Shout out to Lexapro. It's weird since I decided to try antidepressants, I'm like hearing everyone talk about them everywhere. And I guess if you don't, if you're not, if you're anyone, you're wondering, okay, first of all, you're on antidepressants, you're on Lexapro. How do you feel? Do you feel antidepressed? You talked about feeling depressed and anxious before. Are you no longer depressed now, Gabe? Are you feeling that? That's what I've been asking myself, but it's only been since Wednesday night. So that's less than a week ago. That was about 5 days ago, maybe 4 days ago. Coffee. I'm drinking coffee. This is late for me to drink coffee. I don't usually like to drink coffee this late because I don't want it to mess with my sleep. But I might just sleep fine because that's how caffeine seems to work with me sometimes. Where even though I'm drinking coffee late, it makes me fall asleep instead for whatever reason. But I'm drinking caffeine because I think I'm gonna do a brief live stream, like a quick 15 minutes, play some songs and on Instagram and peace out. I'll probably end up doing an hour because that's usually what happens with me. Because I don't know, I get off on being able to interact with people like that because everyone's like my face is showing, but people are just like typing text at me, so they're just like kind of talking amongst themselves and talking to me, and it can get pretty wild in those chats, and it sort of keeps me like focused, like I'm on camera. And I tend to get my energy up. So, yeah, Lexapro to me, so far kind of feels like, similar to like coming up on mushrooms or maybe like acid or something like that. It's definitely a noticeable pitch, or I maybe it's not noticeable to some people, but I notice it. And it absolutely feels like something. I think it does take some getting used to because like I think that's a good comparison. It's like if you started microdosing shrooms, it feels oddly like the times that I've microdosed shrooms and acid, like the sort of thing that it does. Except it doesn't appear to be affecting my mind that much. That would be the difference when you're like microdosing shrooms and stuff like that. You can kind of like feel it messing with your head. This doesn't feel like it's messing with my head or anything like that. Like I don't feel like a bouncy happy bunny or anything like that. I feel pretty normal. I don't feel depressed, but I don't know if I would have anyway. I don't feel like extra happy. I don't feel like some people complain of feeling like really dead or, you know, flat somehow. You know, I think the angle of this mic is too wide. As I'm listening to this, I'm like, can we de-widen the angle? No, that's the closest angle I can get. All right. Yeah. Fucking Lexapro. Why? You know, the thing was, I had another podcast I recorded on the train, and I think I was, but it got cut off halfway, and I was like, it's old, so I'll just record a new one all the way through. Because I like the podcast to have continuity. I don't want it to be a bunch of pieces that I recorded while traveling and things like that are kind of distracted. Like it's a good podcast when I can focus in on a mic and say what I'm saying. Anyway, yeah, I realized I'd been, you know, using weed to regulate my mood for a while. What else? That's pretty much it for me, thankfully. I'm not into anything else, not into drinking, no cocaine, no heroin, no crystal meth, no... I've only tried cocaine, I've tried cocaine, mushrooms, alcohol, acid, tried an experimental chemical called 2EC that gave me powers, and now I can shoot web from my fingers. DMT I've tried. I had a podcast about DMT, so I've been like self-medicated, and I think seeking truth through chemical agents for a long time. So when the idea of like, oh, are you gonna give into big pharma and and have the man's psychotropic in your socialist bloodstream, I was like, yeah, sure, because I've been just, you know, putting Randy's swag in my blood for a while, so it's not really a big deal to try some Lexapro, to try an SSRI. Come on, man. Try a little SSRI. A little anti-anxiety, anti-depression. Come on, man. That's no big deal. I think, first of all, like, my weed habit was an indicator that I needed to maybe try an antidepressant, because I was going for, like, it's like I needed something in my system. You know, like something was off or whatever, and I was trying to compensate for it by like smoking weed. So yeah, that's one recommendation I'd have for anyone. Like, if you're a chronic drinker or a chronic smoker or any type of chemical thing like that, I'd say if you have any kind of addiction, even if it's like to chocolate and or sugar or anything like that, that to me would signal some kind of chemical imbalance that your brain was kind of trying to compensate for. But I think to me, it seems like an antidepressant like Lexapro is like training wheels for you to develop good habits that help your brain create the right balance of neurochemicals. So I've had, you know, 3 years of, you know, my mom died in 2015. My dad died last year. It was like a ton of loss and grief and stuff like that. And on top of that, just unhealthy bad habits, just trying to cope with that grief. So while, like, I know, you know, eating a clean green diet has certain benefits for your mood and your energy levels and stuff like that, it's been hard to keep to that. And you know, I know running and doing yoga regularly have certain health benefits, but it's hard to keep to that kind of regimen if you're already sort of lacking in the feel-good chemicals that you'd be creating if you're doing that stuff anyway. So having an SSRI is just kind of like something that makes it easier for, well, I mean, potentially eventually, because it's still, you know, it's still like just 4 days in at this point, and I can't really count anything. I can't really be like, this is what the effect is. I'm kind of just gonna work to establish a good routine from here and see how well the medication can support that. For me, the biggest thing is being able to do what I love to do, which is you know, make music, make podcasts, do creative things. And a lot of times I feel like I'm like held up or like weighed down by anxiety or just feeling like not enthused, lack of motivation. And yeah, it's like I like that the place that I'm trying to get to is definite, and it's not just like I'm bummed, I'm gonna like pop some like meds from the state and fucking, you know, do a whole Brave New World thing. It's like, no, it's you know, like once you know where you want to go, you take any fucking help you can get to get there, you know, in spite of whatever stigma Tom Cruise has created about psychiatric medicine. I know there are people out there who are like, you know, you have your problems or whatever, and you just deal with them, you know, you just kind of deal with them the same way everybody deals with them. Don't deal with them. Don't deal with them. You don't have to deal with them. You really don't. That's I guess that's how our grandparents dealt with stuff. You just kind of grin and bear it and get prostate cancer or whatever. Go get some drugs. Go talk to a therapist and talk to them about what you're going through and kind of nail down your problems if you can. And maybe talk about getting one of these psych drugs as your co-writer. And I'm not saying that from the perspective of like, oh, these drugs have worked great for me. I'm just day four in. And just, I mean, like, really, it's like if you're getting high or seeking to alter your experience through chemical agents at all in any facet, if you're doing a weekend ayahuasca retreat kind of thing, and you know, you're experiencing a lack of focus, and why not try a fucking you know, ADHD medication or whatever the thing is. Like, if you know what direction you're really trying to head in. I think that's also probably why I'm kind of over like tripping on acid or like the idea of like doing an ayahuasca ceremony wouldn't interest me really. 'Cause it's like, I've sort of, been through, I guess, psychically, like so many disassemblings and reassemblings and you know, defending your life type scenarios and stuff like that through acid and shrooms. It all seems like it's like mushrooms come in your room and they just like toss everything everywhere. They come and mess up your room, and then you're like, oh, you messed up my room. And it's like, but was your room really clean in the first place? And then you clean your room and then it's cleaner than it was before the mushrooms messed it up. That doesn't really make sense. Maybe somebody got it. I think I'm trying to say that For me, it's just like the whole point of like mushrooms or acid and stuff like that is to like, it's like you're an accountant and then you take mushrooms and then like now you paint, you know? Like maybe that's just like a really simplistic way to put it, but that's really what it amounts to. Like now you're an accountant and then you take mushrooms and then you cry and then you realize life isn't just numbers and then you decide you're gonna do yoga also and be an accountant, or you're gonna change jobs or something like that, something more in line with your inner purpose or goal. But here's the thing about all it's like a discovery tool. It's like the cool thing that I discovered about like real good tripping in general. It's sort of like you arrive at the gates of something. Maybe you could call it the precipice of knowledge, or the precipice of absolute knowledge, or gnosis, or absolute knowledge of self. And you're like, okay, I want absolute knowledge of self. And they're like, okay, but that's you can't just have it. It's not like McDonald's. So like, go back to your regular mode of thinking. How long is this recording that I'm recording here? I don't want to go over the recording time. Am I even recording right now? Yes, I am. Okay, I've been going for 16 minutes. It's like you take the acid or shrooms or DMT or whatever, and it's like, okay, you're at the precipice of knowledge, and it's like, have you done, you know, basically, like you have to do the spiritual work to receive absolute knowledge, because otherwise you'd just be like a normal person who like, you know, just shits and farts with absolute knowledge, and it won't make any sense or be useful to you at all. Wow, this is really fucking actually sounding exactly like the type of podcast that someone would make on Lexapro or something like that. Talking about being at the gates, the precipice of absolute knowledge. What I'm trying to basically say is, like, for me, the point of doing all that psychedelic stuff and tripping and stuff is to really like shake up your routine, but like sometimes your routine. The point is not to keep your routine shaken. You know, the point is to like shake up your routine and make it into something better. And I think that's what's led me towards therapy, towards meds from a therapy, as opposed to like, you know, meds that you get from a guy that you administer yourself, or from a guy who says he's a white dude with dreads, who says that he's a shaman because he's been to Peru or he lived there for 10 years or whatever the deal is. Just like more structure, because it's like through actually going through those things, through taking those sacraments, you know, the acid mushrooms, da 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 da, you start to get a vision of yourself that from this abstract perspective that you're taking. So instead of looking at yourself like through the eyes of, you know, through the eyes of like everything that's happened in your life, every one that's interacted with you, every way that anyone's treated you or anything like that, you're now looking at yourself through this abstract perspective. You're looking at yourself more like Frodo in The Lord of the Rings. And so, you know, the same way you're cheering on Frodo as he carries the enormous weight of the One Ring around his neck, you start cheering yourself on and start looking at like this ideal version of yourself. And I think that's what they mean in those old LSD documentaries that you can see on YouTube, when they say like acid allows you to become your own superhero, because you're just looking at yourself, you know, as you are really. Instead of from your small singular perspective, you're looking at yourself really radically from the outside. And from the outside, it's like, you know, looking at myself, it's like I've been a nervous wreck my entire life. you know, a lot of it's due to circumstance, and some of it's just like habitual patterns of thinking. And a lot of this stuff, I feel like I've, you know, because I've been like not in a sort of therapy crowd, it hasn't been excised through therapy. But yeah, I believe that it can be, and also through art, of course. That's my real first go-to to you know, liberate the self through artwork. Oh yeah, this is the podcast to beat. So like I said, it looks like my format is going to be making a bunch of podcasts and then stopping. So you'll have a bunch of content to listen to for a while, and then there won't be any for a while. Or I'll just keep creating and creating and creating and creating and creating. Because I do want a lot of podcasts by the end of this year, but I don't want to, let's say, okay, I'm going to do one podcast every day, or I'm going to do it once a week, because I don't see any real need. It should just be like, surprise, there's like 7 new podcasts, and you're like, oh, what the fuck. I don't know if they'll be good, though. I think they'll be good. I think the point, good is in the eye of the beholder, you know. This is what I think about now, the long tail. So initially, when I post like 4 to 7 podcast episodes, people will be like, what the fuck? That's just like 7 episodes suddenly. But in the future, people will be like, oh, there's 7 episodes here. Anyway, I guess I'm recognizing people binge more. So if I release my content like binge style, it might work in my favor. I don't know, though. I don't really know much about marketing. I kind of guess a lot of it. Yeah. Oh, man, Jussie Smollett. Jussie Smollett's gonna become a meme, I think. I mean, like his name, like synonymous with faking something in a weird way. I feel bad because like I was really like caping for him, and I got really mad at people who were like, you know, jumping to the conclusion that he made the story up and all this stuff. But yeah, so crazy how everything's turned out there. Someone pointed out, they were saying, oh, this is bad because people are not, you know, not going to believe people's stories. It was Desus of Desus of Miro. He pointed out that people haven't been believing people's stories already. You know, we've got a dude in the Supreme Court who a woman was like, yeah, he raped me. And they were like, yeah, you could put the robes on. It's fine. This is a comedy podcast. I don't know. This isn't a comedy podcast. This is a music podcast, technically. Is it? Fuck. I should play a song. I wanted to play something from Flowerpunk released an album. And I wanted to play one of the songs I liked from it. He's got this song called Hey off the album.
I was talking to him and he told me, hey, I really got to say, I think I found the one I wanna spend my life with. And hey, I really got to say, my love for Zer is growing by the hour. And hey, I sound like child's play, but he dreams that his heart's tied.
It's good.
Full of confidence, it's only a wildfire.
Yeah, this is Hey by Newly, that's GNOOLIE, theflowerpunk.bandcamp.com. It's from the album Newly the Flower Punk, recorded this in a bathtub. I'll also be posting about this on my Instagram probably, so check it out there. Yeah, I like the classic anti-folk style. I think Kurt Cobain would love this track. I feel like this is the essence of, like, basically, God, I don't even know what to call that movement, because they called it grunge, and that's so what it was. It was like effeminate, it was thin, effeminate men using this kind of gender fluid poetry. Anyway, that's what it was, and they called it grunge. But yeah, that's what it really was, and I like it. So yeah, it's just like a love song that's using inclusive pronouns, which I really like. I really like that blend of classic and new, and like what folk music is in its essence is. You take the old forms, like the old sounds of music, and put modern concerns to it, and so these sounds and these songs never really die, and they're always for the people in that way, and so this is a great song by Flower Punk. Shout out to Newly the Flower Punk again. That's GNOOLIE, the Flower Punk. And actually, speaking of shout-outs, let's give a shout-out to our sponsors, both the Black Tux and Anchor, which is the app I'm currently publishing all my podcasts on. So yeah, let's have a quick commercial break. Quick break. Just a quick one. Gonna happen right now. Hello, hello, hello. Yes, and we're back. Thank you so much. I don't know which sponsor played. It was either the Black Tux or Anchor, but thank you to either one of you for giving me very small increments of money that will add up eventually. Talking about that long tail, baby. Hashtag that long tail. I'm trying to find catchphrases, because one of my favorite comedians, and just a guy I think is cool, Chris D'Elia. He has a lot of t-shirt merchandise, which I'm finding it hard to find a good t-shirt design that I love, that I feel like pushing. And what he's done is just taken catchphrases of his and turned it, turn them into t-shirts, which I think would be cool. Miss Panda May did make some t-shirts of mine, which were quotes from my songs with like little pictures. So I could do something like that, but my own version of that. Probably hers were hand embroidered, and she gave them to me. This is a cute little story. So she came to, she, Miss Panda May, Amanda Farrell, either one. Hey, it's either one. She came out to a show of mine last year, one of the ones that I did not feel well. She came out too, and I'm really appreciative of her coming out. It was around Christmas, and she gave me a Christmas present of these two super soft shirts that were hand embroidered with lyrics from my songs and a little picture. I forget what the picture was, but it's in my closet. I haven't worn the shirts yet because it feels like weird to wear a shirt that's special. And she gave them to me, and I was like, thank you so much. And I was immediately like, we should sell them. We should make a bunch of these and sell them. Because it's like how my brain works. I'm like, I like this. Let's make money off of this. Yeah, because I'm a capitalist. Yeah. Yeah. Whew. Yeah, so newly, G-N-O-O-L-I-E, recorded this shit in a bathtub. The song Hey is my favorite one from the album, Safar. The whole thing is a pretty cool album. You should go play a lot of shows, Flower Punk. And the fact that you recorded this album in a bathtub reminds me of the fact that I have this pretty good microphone by Shure. This is not an advertisement right here. And that I've been saying I'm going to release an album for a while, but I haven't done it because I make enough money doing other things. And I have no pressure at all to make new stuff, really. I think that's a good thing. I think that's a good thing. You know, right now I'm learning some Beatles songs for Beatles Fest I'm playing next month. Besides that, I don't have the same, like, I have to write a song. I have to write the best song, the most hit song, and I have to listen to different hit songs until I write a hit song. I don't have that like that. I more feel like music is a game and I know how to play it. That's such a cocky black guy thing to say, to be honest. I can be honest that in that way. That's such a cocky black guys will be like, haha nigga, I live forever. Like, you know what I mean? Just like an unreasonable kind of cockiness. Like you can't live forever, bro. Nah, not me, nigga. I ain't gonna die. It's like you're definitely gonna die. How much battery do I have left? A good amount. Yeah, Flower Punk is 17. I forgot. Flower Punk is 17. And this album is very fucking coherent. So that's going to be one of my favorites. I bought that shit. That shit's dope. I don't know if I really explained the long tail. So the long tail is... I don't know. I might have explained it already, so I'll do a quick explanation. So the long tail is like if I ever release a YouTube video and like makes it gets like, let's say it gets 77 hits in the first 7 months, right? The long tail is just a strategy that focuses on, let's say, the 7,000 hits that I'll make over the next 5 years from those videos rather than the immediate, like people focus on, like, you know, they're trying to make a viral video, like a video that a lot of people immediately like and immediately catches their attention. But there's also a strategy, and that's like obviously hard to predict. There's a strategy where you just like, you know, figure like, enough people will see this eventually. Or really it's about like my true fans will watch or consume anything that I make because they're just like so in line with the energy that I'm putting out. So you just put out stuff for a very limited market. Like, who actually wants to listen to these podcasts? What type of person is that? Like, how on a red eye are you right now? You know what I mean? You're like, how don't you want to, you like so don't want to pay for airport Wi-Fi. I should put that in the description of the podcast. It's like, you didn't want to pay for airplane Wi-Fi is way too expensive. So you put my podcast on. Cause it's like, this is a good way to just kill 9 hours. I think 9 hours sealed in a vacuum, sealed in a bubble from which you may never escape potentially. If you are on a plane, you don't want to be reminded of your own mortality. So I'm sorry about that. We here at Gabriel Mayer's podcast are sorry for reminding you of your own mortality. We'll hope you continue using us as your podcast brand of choice. Sometimes I'm off put by how much I put off people. It's like, I think I have such a potential to be an attractive person. And I seem to like want to avoid that. That I would guess has to do with fraud complex. Like I think it has to do with the fact that I don't exactly trust people's approval. Or maybe that's how I rationalize it. Like, man, die and be a hero, live long enough to see yourself become the villain, man. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, but who listens to this podcast? I'm not saying no one listens to it, but I'm saying, like, in order to understand the long tail, you'd have to stop, you know, like in order for me or anyone to take advantage of the long tail, you'd have to stop paying attention to just like the listless chads that sort of float through the void, as it were, you know. But by that, I just mean like the random fucking people who, you know, we're never going to understand you, whose approval you think you need, because they're just there and they seem to have a lot of power. They don't really exist. Do you know what I mean? I was watching this clip and it was like Kim Basinger talking about how Do the Right Thing wasn't nominated, or Do the Right Thing wasn't given the Oscar in the year that it came out, or what year after it came out. And it just, I guess it just kind of made me think about like the fact that, you know, if you're making real art, it's not really gonna be award worthy per se. Like, you would really have to focus on, you know, the cult aspect of it. I think that's important. I mean, it's especially, you know, being on Instagram and having actually like met my fans. Which is, it's weird to say you have fans at all, because it's like, yeah, they're fans of mine. They're fans of my music, and they're fans of, you know, ideas that I post. They're not fans of the way that I eat salads, you know. They're not fans of mine. That's like Insta speak sneaking in. I don't know. I think you feel more of an artistic responsibility, like interacting with people. It's like, you know, am I really creating content for the people that care the most about my music now? Am I creating content for the potential thousands of screaming, adoring fans I like to hallucinate about? I feel like most people are on the side of the hallucination. Like, they, like, when I look at people's Instagrams and their whole thing that they're putting out, it's just like a fake image, right? Not that I'm the realest of the real, yo. I always keeps it real. It's nothing like that. I guess I'm just doing a different thing than just posting high quality photos of myself, like standing in different lights or something like that, or a music video where I'm all colorful, or, you know, I'm in a costume or something. You know, I'm more like trying to show you me. I'm more like ready to like show you my gooch, rather than like, you know, put on a pair of shades and cool jeans. I have white jeans, by the way, so don't think I can't fucking come in and just, and just stunt with some white jeans and some fucking got the brown suede Doc Martens. I don't even know. Yeah, so the long tail, I'm talking about the people I'm talking about, okay, so it's like busking is, basically. Like, a lot of people, they busk and they play a song that they think is good, that they've played in front of audiences in different venues and places in front of friends and stuff like that. And they think the song's good and they go out in the street and they play it and they don't get a response and they go like, oh, it isn't good. And they don't understand the long tail of the thing, which is the when I say the long tail of the thing, it's such a bastardization of the phrase. So don't go flinging it around like that, please. But they don't see the long tail idea in that situation where, like, you know, initially, when you're standing in a spot, you're going to make an amount of money there initially, but it's really about, like, what you make after you've been doing it a while. I mean, I just have to look at my patterns over the past few years. Like, I've binged so many things. I've binged Harmontown. I've binged all the Community. You know, I've binged so many things. I really can't even think of all of them. We all have. We're all in that bingey place. And I think the content that's easiest to create is the one that's most immediate to you. And so I try to perpetuate this idea that, you know, you're creating everything with immediacy, meaning like you're not like spending a bunch of time on production. You're picking up a camera, you're pointing it at you, like you are the artwork. It's Instagram. It's about I. It's about you. It's like these. You know, I don't like to. I have a lot of them. I have a lot of videos of me playing out at venues and shows like that. But I. You know, if I came to an Instagram and that's all there was, you know, just different videos of the person performing, you know, I'm not really gonna fuck with it that much unless you're in love, you know. I'm thinking about Post Malone's Instagram, like, you know, he posted some picture. It was a cool looking picture, but it was like him on stage with some like real cool lights, and it's like, that's cool, but like, what if you write something beneath it that was like shared some of yourself as a personality? Because that's like what is driving Instagram, actually. You know, people think it's like about models and modeling photos and pictures of cars and pictures of cash and pictures of cats and stuff like that, but it's actually like personalities. It's actually, you know, it's personalities that are running these accounts. It's personalities that are clicking them. And I think I've gotten real fans from the way that I've decided to use social media, which is just to be fucking honest on it. Like, I scroll through Instagram a lot, and it's just, I mean, it's the whole world, really. It's just like how we're all living our lives, but it's just like really dense. And, you know, Instagram is different from like Facebook, because you can really like browse through other people. You can go like location tagging and just go browsing in location, or you can do like hashtag this type of animal, and you can look at people, and like everyone like kind of does the same thing, and like everyone, you know, some people are like, I love my family, and some people are like, you know, this is me looking sexy, and some people are like, this is me doing my thing. But like, you know, I think to most people, even it would be like hard because it's hard for me. So I have to conclude that it's like got to be hard for most people to sit down in front of a microphone and just talk. Because unless you're just like bullshitting the entire time, like I'm just like, I don't know what that would sound like to bullshit for an hour through, but yeah, you'd have to be like comfortable being honest, I think. And I think that's why I'm gonna be driven towards stuff like that, driven towards stuff like busking, like live streaming, like posting wild shit, podcasting, just really visceral kind of challenging, you know, I'm trying to think about what the level is to call it. It's just challenging on an intellectual level. I don't know if it's intellectually challenging. I think we just have this new thing where we like want stuff that's like really fresh and not contrived. And I think there's a demand for things to be like real, you know, in an era where Hollywood has sort of shrunken down. The Hollywood studio is now in your pocket and you can produce this amazing quality sound and video and da 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 da. It's like people thirst for something that isn't manufactured. Timothy Leary talked about this concept in Turn On, Tune In, Drop Out. He said, you know, like the idea of something being handmade is never going to go out of style. Because it doesn't matter how advanced the machines get at it, there'll always be this kind of, you know, although, you know, machines will probably be able to replicate that at some point too. This, you know, the error, the idea of errors, like in Fight Club, you know, Edward Norton talked about these bowls where, no, lamps, Rizlampa lamps with, no, I forget the damn lamps. Anyway, these lamps that the glass is bubbled and has imperfections in it to show its quality. And I think that's essentially what your online presence is. And so everyone is scrambling. Most people are scrambling to craft this really polished online presence. Get your nice haircut, get the good clothes and get the high quality pictures and the looking like a star, I gotta make my Instagram look like it's a magazine, you know, I gotta make my Instagram look like I'm a star. But the thing that it really immediately, unless you have 1 million followers or 100,000 followers or 500,000 followers, it really immediately reads as, oh, you're a fake, you know. And there's so many like that. There's so many fake, like people acting like, you know, trying to stretch one or two or three or even 10. You know, there's some people who are on Conan all the time who are trying to advertise like, hey, I'm on Conan. I'm this guy Conan's close with, because they're trying to milk that for as much as it's worth, you know. And there are people who have even less credits than being on Conan 10 times. We're trying to milk that for all it's worth and make it seem like they're on Conan 1 million times and Conan is their best friend. Do you know what I mean? So there's like, you know, the social media thing is this competition on who can fake it the best. So the only way to win these kind of games is to not play them, is to turn them on their head. Now the game's not who can fake it the best. The game is who can be the realest. And it's fucking harder, because guess what? The world has not trained you to be real. It's like told you that the game is now to fake it. The game is now to, you know, take selfies from this certain angle and to, you know, when you go out to your friends to a club to take pictures of everything to perpetuate that you have this certain type of lifestyle or what have you. But, you know, it's like people buy it. People buy your fakery, but they don't really buy it. Do you know what I mean? It's like how we buy TV, you know, like Santa Clarita diet. Like I buy it, but I don't buy it. I'm not like, this is real, but I get emotionally involved in it, but I'm not like, this is real. Cause it's like, when Beyonce posts that stuff, I believe it, right? When you post a so Beyonce posts a picture with Michael B. Jordan, I'm like, that's dope. You post a picture with Michael B. Jordan, I'm like, that's cool. That's not it. There's no difference between those two things. I'm just like, that's cool, but unless you seem like you hang out with Michael B. Jordan, then that doesn't make you cooler, you know? Because Beyonce's Beyonce, and Michael B. Jordan is Michael B. Jordan. And you're you. You're just some fucker who works at like PC Richards or whatever the fuck. Not that working at PC Richards is a bad thing or anything. But I just mean you're not like a celebrity or anything. And I'm not saying I am or you need to be in order to be around Beyonce. You could like be a scientist that cures AIDS or something. You know, you could be whatever. But I'm trying to say the point is where most people are at is trying to look like they are like this super successful thing. To the point where you're like, you alienate humanity. You've like alienated humanity. It's just like no one can relate to you because you're like this, you're this idealization of the ego. All right. On that note, let's take a little word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. You know, the Black Tux and Anchor for sponsoring this podcast. Thanks.
This is Newly the Flower Punk from the album Newly the Flower Punk Recorded This in a Bathtub.
All right. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It isn't over quite yet, but thank you so much for listening to this podcast, and thank you for bearing with the commercials and listening to them, and even going so far as to visit the sponsors and maybe even mentioning my name to them. So I think this is an interesting year, 2019, for me, because it's just me making a positive push out into new directions that will hopefully result in me being less crazy and neurotic and you know, wasting a whole bunch of time on bullshit. I'm like anybody else. You have like an idea of yourself, I think, and what you could be, and this just like the practical thing of being human is you want to conserve as much energy as possible. And I was just talking to my therapist today that like it seems like I have this like all or nothing attitude about stuff, like it's like sort of like militant, like either I'm smoking weed and just jerking off and playing video games and wasting all my time, or I'm like not doing any, like I'm not playing video games, not smoking weed, not jerking off, not wasting time, and just working and focusing and being like Uberman. Like I realize that does seem to be like a big focus of mine, this idea of like that you can be like the Uberman, basically. Like you are like strong and you know a bunch of languages and you're just like Jason Bourne, basically, and you get all your assignments handed in on time and you're just so prepared and you're happy and you're fit and you know everything is just perfect. But it's like you're just like never sitting on your couch in your underpants and like playing video games and just like vegetating. You know, I think it's pretty much the idea. It's just all go, you know, very marine, you know, someone was telling me about this book about a Marine, and it's like I've had so much of that. I've had so much for militancy as a cure for, you know, just the uncertainty of life. Like, life is uncertain. I want things. I don't know if I'll get them. So I will respond to it by being militant in my approach, because it's like my militancy will be like a little prayer I'm sending out in the universe. Like, if I can sacrifice all this stuff, if I can, like, you know, beat myself rotten to get this goal out, will I deserve it then? And it's like not considering that work could be a lot easier. You know, like, work could be a lot easier, but it's just this, the militant perspective just enforces the idea that, like the solution to everything is hard work. And then if it isn't hard, then you ain't working, buddy. And it's just like, that's just dumb. That's dumb. Shut up. This guy, I went out to busk, and this guy is also a busker. I was like, yeah, I'm just going to play 90 minutes and go home. And he was like, yeah, did you read this book by David Goggins? He's a military guy. And he's like, yeah, you just push it. And he goes super hard, man. And it's great that there's a book about the concept of going hard. And I love the concept of going hard. But if I'm like, I know my limits, I'm not feeling well, I'm only going to play 90 minutes, then that whole, like, go hard thing is, like, pretty fucking useless. And I feel so resentful of just, like, any simple idea like that. Like, just go hard. Just go hard, bro. It's like, no. How about go soft? How about go completely limp and catatonic right now? How about go into a coma? Go in that direction. Go not hard, bro. Let's go not hard. Yeah, because you just run right up your own ass. I think the thing that, you know, really, this is from the 4-Hour Work Week. I really recommend you read the 4-Hour Work Week. I used to have a hard copy. I have the audio copy on my phone forever. And I just think about it all the time. The best door-to-door salesman will be decimated by a medium efficient online salesman. Okay? It's not always about hard work. Sometimes it's about what kind of work you're doing and when you're doing it. Yeah. I mean I'm not, like, against hard work. I'm against people who don't have a clue what to work on, and so they're like, I'll just work hard. And then they see me and I'm all like, yeah, man, I'm only gonna do like 90 minutes, then I'm out of here. And they're like, hey, man, you got to work hard. You got to come at 6 in the morning and you got to go to 1 in the afternoon. And I'm like, nah, I'm not going to do that. I'm like Woody Harrelson. I'm like, nah, I'm not going to do that. I can't deal with Woody Harrelson. Who is that? That was the other guy, the Lincoln commercial guy. Matthew McConaughey. Not going to do that. I'm comfortable finding my own path. I'm not a wealthy gentleman, but I've arrived in such a position that people keep giving me compliments and money and recognizing me occasionally and ask me to do stuff. And and I'm like really trying to appreciate it. Like, that's nice enough. And every once in a while, someone would be like, you could be so much more. And I'm like, oh, you're the devil. That's the way I treat it. Like, oh, you're the devil, actually. Because, like, first of all, who knows if I can be more? Maybe this is it, bruh. And I know some people be like, don't think that way, Gabe. You could be at the top. You could be the next Beyonce. You could be up there with Beyonce. You could be so famous. You could be inaccessible to all your fans. And it's like, yeah, but to even think about that or to wish that is insanity. To wish to be so famous, to wish to be as famous as Beyonce means that you have like some problem. Do you know what I mean? Because it's like, you wish to be as famous as Beyonce for what? For the money? That's too much money. For the fame? That's too much fame. You want to help people with it? Then why don't you wish to help people? Why don't you just wish to help people? You know what I mean? Why you want to be... Because you want to be glamorous. I don't want to be glamorous. I'm not very glamorous. I am like very self-reflective. And if you're self-reflective, you really realize how not glamorous you are. And so you're uncomfortable with the fraud complex that comes from a lot of people paying attention to you and being like, you're great. It's like, I appreciate that you like my music. Do not idolize me. Am I recording this? I am. It's so good, too. Oh, the sun's setting. Another day. Another day in which I've been completely fucking tired the whole fucking day. Hey. Hey, Lexapro. Let me sleep better than this. I don't know. I'm going to do some squats. I feel like I've got kicky legs. I've definitely got squirmishness. I don't think I've been sleeping as well as I would were I not on a medication. XXX medication. And this coffee's not going to help much either, but it's giving me fuel for my podcast recordings. And I like this one. This one's getting very jabbery and pithy, and I enjoy that. I think I decided to stop going out in the early morning, although the idea scares me. Because I realize, like, setting a thing where I'm like, okay, I go out in the early morning to play, it makes it so that I have to get into bed. Let's say I'm going to get up at 4 to arrive someplace at 7 or even 6. That's like so fucking early. And that is the thing to do, by the way. I think I realized suddenly, like, oh, I don't have to do that. Like, I don't have to do that. Someone suggested it to me a long time ago. And it's a good idea. You know, the thing about the early morning shift is that a lot of the buskers aren't up that early. So you beat a lot of them. There's a morning rush hour and stuff. But there's just like New York is so busy all day long. And once you really get down like what your killer songs are and you get your tude down and you can like make solid eye contact with people and shit like that and really like pull the money out of them. Like I've played in the afternoon just a handful of times, and I don't think waking up in the morning at 4 a.m. is necessarily necessary, especially when you go through, you know, you think about like where the hot spots, where the most crowded areas of the city are. You just go there, get your amplifier, or your acoustic guitar in any one of the mezzanine parts. And actually, you know, I shouldn't talk so much about busking in this podcast, because I wanted the next one to actually just be about busking, because I, you know, people always ask me like questions, or people always like, you know, they see me busking, and then I go like, look how much money I made in an hour busking. And they're like, okay, I'm gonna go busking. And they go busking, and it wasn't that good. And they're like, what happened? And it's like, I don't know. It's like, Gabe's got a little secret. Gabe's, you know, it's like, not really. I spend a lot of time alone thinking about things, so I can suss certain things out. And I like analyzing some systems sometimes. So I'm gonna do a podcast after this one's complete. That's just all busking, baby. Just how do you do busking? And plus, I'm all fucking full of coffee now, so I can definitely bang out another podcast for sure, Z's. But this one's a lot about Lexapro. I think it was a thing of shame. I think, like, I was best friends with people who were like, if I was like, man, I have allergies today, I'm gonna take it. I need a Benadryl. They'd be like, oh, you take Benadryl, man? You're supposed to meditate that away. Like, what the fuck? Like, people like that. So if I was like, oh, I think I need a government pharmaceutical to alter my mood, they'd be like, hey, you should fucking align your chakras. Why are you taking Lexapro, bro? Fucking align your chakras. Fucking, why are you fucking going to therapy and taking a fucking medication that they put through fucking trials and shit like that to see how many people it went wrong with and how many people it went right with and all this like fucking scientific data and fucking approved by the same people who fucking approve our food and shit like that that you trust and whatnot. Why are you doing all that shit, man? Just fucking do alternate nostril breathing. Pranayama. Fucking inhale deep into your diaphragm, brah. You don't need any fucking therapy. It's just like, I don't know. Again, I don't like shit therapy. Shit on meditation and shit on like alternate nostril breathing and aligning your chakras and all that. It's just that like it's just that I realize I've been so fucking impressionable. Although impressionable sounds like innocent, like I've been impressionable, but I think it's more like just being like a bitch, just like having bitch ass thoughts, hashtag no bitch ass thoughts. It's like, have you know, just like not trusting my own senses. Walt Whitman said, you shall filter all things through yourself. Let's read that part from Walt Whitman. Don't give up. You got the Whitman in your hair. All right. Here we go. Have you reckoned 1,000 acres much? Have you reckoned the earth much? Have you practiced so long to learn to read? Have you? A bunch of people just stopped listening to the podcast. Don't turn it off. Stop this day and night with me, and you shall possess the origin of all poems. You shall possess the good of the earth and the sun. There are millions of suns left. You shall no longer take things at second or third hand, nor look through the eyes of the dead, nor feed on the specters in books. You shall not look through my eyes either, nor take things from me. You shall listen to all sides and filter them from yourself. That's Walt Whitman, Song of Myself. And that's the point I feel like I'm at. Like, I think that's what 33 means. It means I can actually finally say fuck you to people and say, oh, white people suck and fucking white privilege sucks and male privilege sucks and men suck and men are trash and straight people are trash and straight people suck or whatever the fucking truth is, really. It's not even just about saying antagonistic things. It's like whatever the fucking truth is, because I'm no longer this person who's gonna 100% buy in, let's say this, because this is more modest, who's gonna 100% buy into the idea that I'm just wrong and someone else is just right, or someone else has the answer for me. You know, this guy that I met out busking is like, you gotta stop and listen to the old man sometimes because he might have something to tell you. And it's like, I've done so much of that, that I'm at the point of like, fuck that. And I knew that that's where I was heading the whole time. Cause why else? You know? I'm gonna sit and listen to an old man muse at the bus stop. I'm not saying don't do that. I'm not saying old men don't have something to offer and you listen, but I have somewhere to go. You know what I mean? I think that's the difference between me and that person. Fucking hell. You know, it bothered me. I don't like anyone, you know, to give me advice or to talk down to me and stuff. But I should be able to take some of it because it's taken me a long time to get to this point where I know what the fuck I'm about. I know what the fuck I have to do. I know where the fuck I have to go, where the fuck I have to be. And I don't need like a video about it. You know, I don't need a video to be like, you know, you gotta get up every morning and be like, da-da-da. And you gotta say to yourself, I'm gonna do it. You gotta say to yourself, I'm a lion today. You know, like I remember when I needed that. I remember when I needed, you know, to listen to Eckhart Tolle on a loop in my headphones all night while I slept and during the train rides and stuff like that. I remember when I just needed all this shit. And now I'm just like, oh, I can just like have it simpler. I can just like pop the Lexapro and I don't have to be on it forever. You know? The same way as I don't have to smoke weed all the time. You know, I don't have to be on it forever. It's my chemical co-pilot. And it's a more reliable one than marijuana, because I only have to take one Lexapro pill a day. And weed I have to take several times a day to maintain the effects that I'm looking to achieve from that. So it's just a simple math problem in the end. It's just a simple math problem. So simple. Yeah, so if you're squeamish about it, I'd go for it. I mean, of course you'd want to, you know, I mean, you're going to have to check with, you know, don't just eat your friend's Lexapro. Like, you want to go to a doctor and have them be like, this is what you should take. You don't want to just eat Lexapro. Don't be an idiot. It's not like that kind of thing. Although you could probably trip off of it if you ate like three. But I doubt you would like it. Feels like a weird tummy. Feels like a weird tummy and like a slightly clenchy jaw. But yeah, so far it's not flattening me out. I did feel tired all fucking day, but I think it's mostly been giving me like a little extra energy, like not a crazy bunch extra, but a little extra energy,
making me yawn. It's made me yawn. It's made me yawn a lot as well.
Yeah, that's why I said it's like a weird mushroom thing, because mushrooms will be like, you'll be like coming up, got like getting more awake, but like yawning, because it's doing something with your serotonin. That seems to be a reaction. People keep asking when's the next show, and I'm like, I'm really trying to get everyone to follow me online. I think I'm gonna have to like really print up some cards. That advertise like the podcast, and I'm gonna have to do the live stream every day, and in the podcast every day. Just because, like, I think, you know, I'm starting to move away from busking because I'm getting so popular. No, I'm not actually getting that popular doing it. But because it's just so limited, and I feel like I've talked this to death before at other times, so I won't do that now. But it's just like you're making music for however many people see you in the subway at that time. And I just see it as more efficient to make something like a podcast or something like a live stream, which can then be, you know, exported to YouTube or something like that. That's going to like entertain like an infinite number of people for who knows how long. And that's not to say like I just won't busk anymore, but just like where my creative energy should go is clearly to me, it's live streaming. Live streaming and podcasting and just creating online content is really creating an ass load of it. Although I think it would really come from the live streaming, because again, like the easiest thing for me to do is just to turn on the camera and put it on myself. And as soon as you start thinking like, oh, let me create content, you've already like fucked yourself up, because then you just start like preparing and just adding a step in between you hitting post. It's like this. I'm recording this straight to my phone, and then I'm gonna like put it right on Anchor and this post. And when I do a live stream, I'm creating video content, so I just fucking go on Instagram and you just do or maybe I should start going live on Facebook. Instagram's been feeling very unreliable to me. It's been feeling very unreliable indeed. But either way, yeah. I love to talk about what I'm planning to do. I think I'm just trying to reinforce something in my head, and I'm just trying to see how stuff sounds to me. Because like my therapist asked me what my goals are, and I said it was to create this content that I'm creating, because I could, you know, it's really gonna matter in 5 years that I made this. It's not gonna matter in the next 6 months though. It really isn't. I did my first podcast maybe last year, around this time, and from then to now, I think it got like maybe, I don't know how many hits it got, 60 hits, 50 hits, something like that. And I was like, oh, that many people listened to it over time? That's crazy. And a couple people had left reviews, and I was like, oh. But I hadn't, I think at the time that I posted, not a lot of people paid attention to it at the time that I posted it. So I naturally stopped, because that's what you do. You post something, only a few people watch it or pay attention to it, comment on it, you move on. You don't continue doing that, right? Because you're looking for, you post something and then a lot of people react to it, and then you keep doing that. Which is why people like to post so many thirst traps, because they work. But again, going back to the whole long tail concept, the idea is like people will watch it eventually. And if you have enough content, you're just giving more, it's like more intellectual room for your true fan base to roam over. That's so boring and dry when I talk about things like that. But I'm just, I guess this is also part, like an instructional, educational sort of podcast, even though it's marked as explicit. I mean, I'm an independent musician, and the point of this is to sort of lay my life out there in a way that is entertaining, and hopefully I've done that. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast and on all other podcasts. I just want to give you a quick reminder that you can catch me going live and making posts on Instagram, and you can find me at Gabriel Mayers NYC on Instagram. That's G-A-B-R-I-E-L M-A-Y-E-R-S N-Y-C. on Instagram. And also on Twitter, I'm Gabriel Mayers. That's just Gabriel Mayers. And don't forget to rate and review this podcast if you're on iTunes, if you're on one of those other podcast listening platforms. Just share that sucker somewhere or rate it and review it on there. And maybe I won't see it though, but I will appreciate the review wherever you do it. Also, I think I've got 8 reviews, either 5 or 8 reviews or something like that. I want more reviews than that. So if you're listening and you haven't reviewed this podcast on iTunes and you're a big fan of mine, get an iTunes account just so you can review this. Or maybe you don't even need an iTunes. No, I think you need an iTunes account. You got to put in something. But yeah, thank you so much. And, you know, Godspeed.